Hey, I'm just trying to mix it up, folks. Amen. Get you off guard. I'm going to mix it up a little bit.
So this is an easy one, I think, but I like to do it just to get people to think. Amen. So we're going to look at two verses here. Let's go to Isaiah 40, verse 28. Preacher, am I answering or can I get someone to answer?
You got to answer.
Okay.
You can give them a second to think about it. So I can give them...
Let me find where it is here. All right, Isaiah 40, verse 28. Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. So it says here that he doesn't faint, he doesn't get weary. So let's go to Genesis. Genesis 2, verse 2. Genesis 2, 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. So people say God got so tired from creation, he needed a break, and he had to rest like we rest and take a nap. But Isaiah says that God fainteth not, neither is weary. So is the Bible right? Or is that an error there? What's the problem? What's the word rest mean? Where's Esther at? Earl. Earl's my next musician. Is Earl gone too? All the musicians are gone. Little Earl's not in back. Hey, Derek, what's a rest in music? So it's a stop or a pause, taking a break, not because you're tired or taking a nap or because you're sleepy. It's taking a pause. It's stopping. So God stopped after that day. He didn't take a nap or was overworked or overwhelmed, because the Bible says he doesn't faint or get weary. Amen?
Amen.
They're simple. It's just you got to look at them. Amen?
Next verse.
Let's go back to Isaiah
40:31.
So Isaiah 40. Let me find the correct book, amen. Isaiah 40. Pastor said, we're going to start at 29 and read down. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Amen. Teenager, adult, wait on the Lord. Amen. If you don't have a job and a place to live, you don't need to be dating. Amen.
Amen. That's good advice.
Amen. I told her I'd go slow for it. That's not likely to happen. I'm nervous. Only a faith Baptist would you ask to do an errand of King James Bible off the cuff. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. We're going to go to verse 7. All right, flipping there, some backstory about what's happening here. David is king, and David decides to number the people. Most people probably know this one. Well, it was the one that came to my heart, so I figured I'd do it. And I figured I'd do it fast before somebody took it. Amen. So David's there in the people. Let's actually go to verse 1 just to get the background. So it says, And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it. And Joab answered the Lord, make his people 100 times, so many more as they be, But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? When they doth my lord's require this thing, why will he be a curse, be a cause of trespass to Israel? And if you skip down to verse 6, and it says that, but Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was an abominable to Joab. And so David's numbering his people because he wanted to, I guess he wanted to see his, had pride in him, I guess. And you can see that Satan in the beginning was the one that kind of tempted David. And there's a couple of places David gets tempted pretty bad here, and obviously with Bathsheba. And so God says this in verse 7 about it. It says, and God was displeased with this thing. That's a bad place to be. Bad place to be, to have God displeased with what you're doing. Therefore, he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I will beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Verse 9, and the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying thus, saith the Lord. It's interesting how God always sends another man to tell the king he did something wrong. But every other time, God talks directly to David. Isn't that interesting? He sends another man to tell him he's doing something wrong. Verse 11, so Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee. So he gives him noise. He can have 3 years of famine for what he did, or he can let his people be overtaken in 3 months. And David goes on and he says, you know, he'll take the famine. He didn't want to be turned over to the hand of God. He said, I'll take the hand. He said, he didn't want to be ever turned over to the hand of man. I'm sorry. He said, I'll take the hand of God because God is merciful, and he's hoping that God will have a reprieve on him. So in here it says 3 years. Now take your Bible and go back to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Let me find the right verse. So chapter 24, 2 Samuel 24, verse 1, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Okay? So he's doing the number again. So it's the same context. And go over to verse 10. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine. So here he said seven. So in Chronicles it says three, and in here it says seven. Anybody know the answer? Four, it's not math. Why did it say three and one and seven the other? All right. So the answer is in 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. While you're flipping there, there's a reason this one was in my heart, and I'll tell you after I show you the answer. But it's always been a blessing to me when I'm going to tell you about it. And I'll get to that in a minute. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul, and for his bloody house became because he slew the Gibeonites. So here in 21, there's been 3 years of famine. You go back to 24 and look at back to where we were. So Gad came to, in verse 13, 24, 13. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years come unto thee? And hand, let me back up a little bit. I'm looking for the right spot. 14. Nah, it's right before that. It shows you, it says the word where it happened already. Verse 10, and David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people, and David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done it foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad. I'm missing it. There, thank you, thank you. Verse 8, so when he had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. That's the other part of the other near years. Yeah, so anyway, in 21, there was 3 years, And yeah, Ken's right. In verse 8, it talks about the extra 9 months that happened after that. And then after that, so then you have another 3 years, which makes a total of 7 years. Okay, rounding up, of course. So it's that. It's not that it was wrong. It's that in one, it's telling you about just the 3 years after the three and 9 months. And one, it's telling you the whole total of some. That's really a simple thing if you just read the Bible. And I don't remember when I found that and when I went through all that. But I do remember after learning about it that I was listening to some takes of Dr. Ruckman. And he was actually talking about learning the Bible and stuff. And what really blessed my heart was he was just giving a testimony about this exact same issue. And it plagued him for years. And he couldn't figure out the answer for years. And so one day he went to a service and a preacher got up and taught about this one thing. And he had got the answer to it. And the reason that was a blessing to me is because it encouraged me is that it doesn't matter how smart you are, how good you are. And I struggled a lot because it took me a lot to really learn how to comprehend. I never read when I grew up. I didn't read books. I didn't do any of that stuff. And when I would sit and read, whenever I wasn't right with God, I could read every word and not have any idea what I'm reading. But when I was right with God and I'd sit down and pray and I'd just start to read and God would show me things, it meant so much to me. And I saw that listening to a man that was smarter than I'll ever be, could read 800 words a minute, knows more than I'll ever know, forgot more than I probably ever know. But even he can need help from God just the same that I did. And that was always what a blessing to me. Amen.
All right, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. This is directly out of Dr. Ruckman's. I'm not some scholar. I didn't figure this stuff out, but it's important to think about this. So let me say this before we even get there, is that you can always take, I remember, as you see, Ken cheated. He's got his Bible. I'm gonna give you away. He's got his problem text Bible from PBI in his lap. So that's why he helped Eddie out. That's why he knew. But that's good stuff. You should be ready. But I remember Brother Donovan up there in our problem text class, and he said, when in doubt, God's right no matter what. That's called faith. You know, faith is the evidence of things what? Not seen. The evidence of things what? That's right. So when you don't, you know what I believe this? That there's I got a couple in here. I'm not going to show them to you because I don't want to put doubt in your mind. But there's a few in there that I can't figure out yet. There's still, like, it's up for grabs still. But I know the Lord will show me. And there's been times when I've read my Bible and I had a question, and God showed me sometimes years later. God's not above testing your faith. Let me just say that right away. But what happens is a man gets prideful, and man wants to be above God, and man wants to see himself smart and superior. So what he'll do is he'll start correcting stuff. You got that thing over there about Easter. I think it's in Acts, isn't it? It talks about the word Easter, and they make that a problem text. And it's not. It's Roman. It's not a mistake. It's Roman. You got Mark, where they say the last whole part of Mark chapter 16 shouldn't even be there. Well, who said that? God said it should be there. But you know what the scholars do? They take it out and they change it. And you get that all throughout the Bible. But here in Matthew chapter 1, you go through the whole thing of genealogies. And it looks down in verse 8. It says, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Uzziah. Now, if you look at that, Joram did not beget Uzziah. There's generations in there. He's not a direct descendant of him. So you say, that must be a contradiction. No, I don't think so. Do you have a grandson? Is he still your son? That's right. You see, it's that simple. Sometimes God will just show you something very simple. You know, you don't even have to go into that thing. How many times do you have a great-grandfather? Well, your grandson's still a grandson, isn't it? Great, 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 still a grandson.
That's right.
And besides that, God can do whatever he wants to do. We're the stupid ones, not God. So when you get somebody trying to correct God, right away you should have a red flag going up there. So, amen.
Sometimes Brother Joe said I borrowed somebody else's brains on this. I didn't figure this out myself, but I've been studying. And turn your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 8. The Bible says, Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. Now listen to the word. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnatha of Jerusalem. And if you look at verse 15, it says, and he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land. Those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now if you turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 9, it says, Jehoiakim was 8 years old when he began to reign.
And he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. So by comparing Scripture with Scripture, you're able to see that he had a joint reign with his mother. But just by flippantly looking at it, it looks like the Bible's lying. There's a 10-year gap. Well, there's not. If you look at verse 15, it says that he was carried away. Why did he carry away with his mother too? Because his mother had a joint reign with him. So it's a blessing to me to hear things like that, because the first verse I ever learned in Sunday school was Colossians 4:6. It said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Amen. And with dealing with people and trying to minister to people, you need to have an answer for them. Amen. And you might not always have it, but I'm about as dumb as a box of bricks, but I can pick up a book and read it. Amen. And learn from somebody else.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right, here's a simple one out of chapter 5, 2 Kings chapter 5. First, and then get 1 Chronicles chapter 2. 1 Chronicles chapter 2. And if I can get there. I thought I had it marked here. It's a second. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. You're always going to run into difference in the numbers. And what you got to do is pray, number one. He would give us a problem text and then send us home. Say, here's the problem. Figure it out. And send you home. And then you sit there and you beat your head against the wall trying to figure it out. You think, man. And the devil will try to make you doubt the word of God. And you know, we sat there and beat our head against the wall and beat our head against the wall trying to figure it out. But Second Chronicles chapter 2, it says, Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom. And Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens and 40,000 to hew in the mountains and 3,600 to oversee. And so it gives you, we've covered this before, 70,000, which is 70,000. 70,000 to bear burdens, 40,000 to hew in the mountains, that's 80,000, and 3,600 to oversee. All right? So you go to 1 Kings chapter 5, and the Bible says in verse 15, and Solomon had 70,000, that's 70,000 that bear burdens, that's right, and 40,000 hewers in the mountains, that's right, that's 80,000. And then it says, besides the chief of Solomon's officers, which were over the work, 3,300, which ruled over the people that wrought in the work. Now here it says 3,300. Second Chronicles says 3,600. You got 3,600, and then over here it says 3,300. And the wording is real simple. A lot of times we overlook the wording. And this is one of our problem texts we had in class. And it's so simple that we overlooked it. It said, besides the chief of Solomon's officers. So besides the chief of Solomon, the chiefs were 300. Overseers were 33, but the chiefs were 300. They always say you got more chiefs than you got Indians, you know. But these are 300 chiefs over the work. So the difference is you got 3,300 in First Kings, and you got 3,600 in Second Chronicles chapter 2. So that explains why, because it says besides. And you got to look at words like that and check out words that when it says besides or like or as, you got to check those things out. And like Joe said a few minutes ago, there's a couple of them, man. It's you look at them, you go, whoa. Man, and you beat your head against the wall, and we're always looking for an answer. We're looking for how, you know, because that thing will nag you. It'll nag you. You say, man, where that, you know. But I believe the Word of God. I believe the book. I believe the Bible from cover to cover, even though I don't understand everything. If I don't understand it, I still believe it. And what happens is people will get, they'll get upset with the Lord. They get something happening in their life. They get mad at God. And then they'll start doubting his word. And before, when you doubt his word, brother, you're sunk. You're sunk when you doubt his word. And because he puts his word above his own name. And when you doubt his word, man, look out. And Christians will start doubting him. And they'll start, and that's where all these new Bibles come in.
and all you know, all this stuff that it's going to come today. I was just thinking on the way to church tonight. I was thinking about what the Lord said. Shall I find faith on the earth when I come? It's going to come to a day where there's going to be more and more, more and more and more falling out. And we might just be a few sitting in here if Lord tarries. And I hope I'm still, if I'm alive, I believe it's going to be in my lifetime. I believe the Lord's going to come back in my lifetime. And it might be just a few sitting in. I hope it ain't. I hope we have a full house. I hope the house stays full around the country. I hope pray Christians. But when he said, shall I find faith on the earth when I come? And you have to have faith in him, faith in his book, faith in his word. And you better have faith, and your faith ought to grow. It ought to be growing on a daily basis. And you better get in that book on a daily basis. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So that's why it's important to be in church and be around the word of God. You know, you say, well, people are trying to brainwash me. No, we're just trying to get you to think about the Lord. The world's trying to brainwash you. They'll brainwash you and make you think everything's good. And we can see it coming down the pike. It's, like I said, like a train coming down the track, man. We can see it coming down. When the more you read this book, you start going, wow. Who would ever thought in Daniel chapter 12 says knowledge shall increase. And it's increasing so fast that, I said this before, it'd take you 3 months just to read on what happened last week, what they've come out with. And they just now, they come out, they've got, you know, they've got the chips. Now they're experimenting with them. I just seen this week that they're showing the chip on the news. They're saying, this is it. This is it. This is going to solve our problems. This is going to solve the problems, you know. And we'll have, when people won't talk to the police, they won't, they just scan it, scan their hand, and or scan their forehead. And it's a marvel idea, but it's been in the Word of God for thousands of years. Ain't that something? Well, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you out. Yeah. Oh, you've got to take up offering? Okay. All right.